It's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
You're tuned to another edition of Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC and, of course, around the world at mybradio.com. Tonight's edition, a special edition covering the 25th anniversary celebration that we had this past week at the Dumbo Loft. I thank Pesach Tropper and the entire team here for producing such an amazing event. And here are the highlights.
Rabbi Yochanan Zon, director of the National Association of Chevra Kadisha.
Rabbi Yitzhak, I just want to extend our mazel tov for myself and for all of us at NASC. What you do for us is something we can never thank you for enough. We have a tremendous chelik in an unbelievable amount of good that is done on behalf of Klal Yisrael in our organization. And Dirshu, I can't even begin to imagine what the schus of being involved with Dirshu is. But all the things that you do, but I think most of all what I admire most, it was touched upon so many times tonight, is the tremendous Kiddush Hashem that you make in the work that you do. It's the way in which you do it, b'nachas, b'menucha, with seichel, with hard work, with mesiras nefesh, with erlichkeit. It's just an unbelievable Kiddush Hashem to see someone like yourself working within the organizational community, within the political community, within the business world, and to be able to bring that same level of really everything that Torah stands for, everything that Yiddishkeit stands for, and to exhibit it and portray it and project it on a level that is current, that is fitting the times, but is at the highest standards of everything that we believe and everything that Torah stands for. Keep up the great work. Have Hatzlacha for many, many years. At Bias Goyal, continue doing the work you do and continue be Mekadoshem Shemayim Barabim with tremendous Hatzlacha. It's a privilege, a real privilege, to be part of your group, a part of your organization. Thank you.
Councilman-elect Kalman Yeager.
Mazel tov to you on 25 incredibly successful years, Baruch Hashem, for a business that you started from scratch with your own hard work. You got your hands dirty, and you've built an incredible operation, incredible team, and I'm proud of you. And I just spoke with your parents, and I told your father, it's incredible to watch your mind work. I've said this privately, I said it publicly, now I'm on camera saying it, so I can't deny it. You've had successes, and like everybody in this kind of business, you've had defeats. That's the most important thing, is to know, to learn how from the defeats, to turn them into successes. But working with you this year, you being part of my victory, our community's victory, it was an incredible honor for me. I'm grateful for everything you did, and celebrating, does it say 25? No, it doesn't say 25, but all over it says 25, and I don't know if we're going to be together for 50th anniversary, but I want to be here for 26 and 27 and 28, and you should continue to be Masliach in everything you do, and you should continue to help good causes and good people and the community at large. And I'm very, very, very proud not just to have you on my team, but to have you as my friend. Thank you.
The Bill O'Reilly of the November team.
What an incredible honor it is to be at the 25th anniversary of Bottom Line. I can't believe it's 25 years. I think Yitzhak must have started when he was about 11. But what a success story. What a great organization. What a hardworking and brilliant organization. I've had the opportunity to work with Bottom Line on a couple of occasions, and there's nobody better in New York. I don't mean just New York City. I mean the state. This is a wonderful celebration of a wonderful man who has a wonderful family and never loses a sense of humor, even as he works hard. And Yitzhak's become a great radio host. I mean, he's a wonderful radio host, so engaging. The guests, he gets good guests because good guests know that it's a quality show and that he's got a great listenership. I still read, so what's the bottom line, Yitzhak's tome on marketing tips. I still go through it. It's something that I thumb at my bedside when I need some fresh thoughts for my business, which is in the public relations side. But it's a real honor to be here. And thank you, Yitzhak, and congratulations on 25 years. May you have another 25 and 25 beyond that. Thank you.
Shai Germazian, president of Allied Distributors.
Yitzhak, it's been a pleasure to work with you all these years. I appreciate always the time and effort that you've put in for our marketing campaigns. We've seen a huge difference and a huge change over the years with what you've done for us as a company. We appreciate it. We're very happy to have you as our go-to company for marketing, and we're proud to be a client of yours. Lots of luck and success in the future. Thank you.
Josh Nass, President Josh Nass, Public Relations.
The team at Bottom Line Marketing is truly second to none. As somebody who works in the public relations business, there being such a great overlap between marketing and PR, we've done a lot of work with different marketing agencies. And I can say without any equivocation whatsoever that the team at Bottom Line has always demonstrated and proven themselves to go well beyond whatever the confines of the project might be. And they've always managed to exceed expectations. They're also incredibly heimish, menschlichkeit, and just a bunch of great, great guys. So thank you so much. Congratulations, Yitzchak. Mazel tov, Pesach, and to the entire Bottom Line family. We're looking forward to working together some more. Take care.
Councilman David Greenfield.
I'm Councilman David Greenfield. I'm thrilled to be here to celebrate the 25th anniversary of Bottom Line Marketing Group. I've had the privilege of working with Yitzchak Saflis and Bottom Line Marketing Group for the last 15 years. They're some of the most wonderful, amazing, impressive, talented, out-of-the-box thinkers that I've ever dealt with. And the most wonderful thing about working with them is they always get everything done on time and under budget. I have nothing but good things to say about them. I'm really proud to be affiliated with them. They worked on every single one of my campaigns, both before and inside, and hopefully in the future after government as well. I wish them bracha and hatzlacha and a lot of mazel, and I want to thank them for professionalizing the industry in the Jewish community and really taking it to the next level. Thank you, Yitzchak Saflis. Thank you to the entire Bottom Line Marketing Group, and mazel tov. Continued hatzlacha, and I look forward to seeing you in year 50.
The Honorable Judge Leon Rachelsman.
Okay, you know, Yitzchak, this is a great occasion for me because we go way back. Like I wrote in a book, I wish you hatzlacha, l'orech yomim. You're a great ben Torah, and you're a real schust that Klal Yisrael has somebody like you to bring out the message that's so important to us in the secular media and the secular world. And what can I say? It's a privilege to be your friend.
Saul N. Friedman, Managing Partner of Saul N. Friedman & Co.
Yitzchak, thanks so much for inviting us to your 25th anniversary. It's my pleasure to be here, but I'd like to talk just a moment about how you have put us on the map. For 40 years, I've been running my firm in the shadows. I never advertised. I never wrote articles. I never gave seminars. We never did anything in public relations, and we were rolling all along. You came along, and together with my sons, Simeon, Yankee Shimon, and Avrumi, you put us literally on the map, not only on the map of Brooklyn or New York City, but all over. You've helped us with our logos. You've helped us with publishing e-blasts and brochures and pamphlets and articles. You literally took us from an unknown firm to a known firm all over the metropolitan area and the United States. You are someone that understands business, someone that we can all rely on to get your name and your reputation out in public. Today, with the digital world, you have to be out there. They call it social networking and all that. That's what you did for us. So we want to thank you from the bottom of our heart. And I wish all future clients come up and see us, and we'll sell your services to them because you have proven methods of doing things the right way and the honest way. Thank you again for everything you've done for us.
Shea Rubenstein of J Builders.
I want to congratulate the entire staff, especially Yitzchak Saflis at Bottom Line Marketing, on your 25th anniversary. It's amazing. You're an amazing person, and it's an amazing event tonight, and you have an amazing staff, and the work, of course, speaks for itself. And as a client, I can only say amazing things about you, your staff, and your creativity. I wish you another 25 years of amazing contribution to the nonprofit and profit community. Thank you.
Josh Brzezinski, aka JP.
Hi, how are you? I'm Josh Przanski. Used to be Yoshua Przanski when I was a client of Bottom Line Design. Way back when, in the beginning, 25 years ago, in a basement on Avenue S in Flatbush, New York. And there it was, amidst the washing machines, the dryers, two small desks. Rabbi Saflis, Yitzchak Saflis, with Jack Gerber at the next desk, and the two of them were cutting. I remember cut and paste. In those days, cut and paste wasn't with a mouse when you right click. Cut and paste was taking a pair of scissors, or a knife, or a razor blade, and cutting and pasting Rashi's for the art scroll Shas, if I remember correctly. This is how far back I remember. When you want to talk about somebody starting from the bottom, that's why it's called Bottom Line Design, because he was in the basement, starting from the bottom and working his way up, I've seen this with my own eyes. People could talk about, I know Saflis, he's a radio host, he's a famous personality, I know Saflis from here, I know Saflis from his very first days. And I want you to know, he still looks the same way. He shaves, put on a few pounds, but then we all... And, you know, I just want to say mazel tov, congratulations on this wonderful achievement of 25 years. You know, 25 years is a very big, big milestone. Many businesses, as you'll find out on his radio show, don't last 25 years. The fact that he's at 25, he's going to 50 now with this wonderful event is a major milestone. I wish him mazel tov, congratulations. Continue with much success in the future. And I look forward to the 50th anniversary of Bottom Line Marketing Group. And it should be not here in... Which bridge is this? This is the Brooklyn Bridge?
Manhattan
Bridge. It should be in Jerusalem at the footsteps of the Kotel. Mazel tov.
Michael Fragan.
Well, I can't tell you how pleased I am to be here this evening. Yitzchak / Ira Saflis has always been aces in my book. And fortunately for a couple years, politically and otherwise, we got to work together. We got to collaborate. I can't even tell you how creative Yitzchak was, and just the ideas that would roll, that would just come off from his head from now, all the time, one better than the other. I can't say enough good things about Bottom Line Marketing Group, and really, not just in the Jewish community, but well beyond. He's been incredibly, just the vision and the creativity that he has shown so many organizations in the political world, but also in the nonprofit world and also in the business world. And to top it all off, his radio show is fantastic. I listen on a regular basis, get the podcasts, and I'm just so proud that I have been associated over the years with Bottom Line Marketing Group and Yitzchak Saflis. Really happy silver anniversary. I can't say enough great things about you. Thank you so much for having me this evening.
Joe Ostreicher, COO of Edison Retail Solutions.
It's an honor and a pleasure being here, seeing how you grew from way back. I remember before you opened up.
That's right.
Bottom Line.
Art Scroll.
But Art Scroll.
Press checks.
You came down to Edison Litho to press check.
90, 91.
Is that the year
That's
it was?
Right. 92, sure.
From the day one, the first day I met you until today, and Bezer Hashem, the future, you are not a client, you're not a vendor, you're a friend, you're a brother. You're always, always there for us. In thick and thin, in pressure and not pressure, you're there with a lending ear, you're there to assist us, guide us, teach us, take us to new heights. Besides for the newsletters and the shows and the award-winning show where we thought we're going to flop on our face and we ended up being award-winning, it's the kayach that you put in it. It's not like the kayach in time and effort and money. It's the heart you put in it. And the heart comes through. The heart does not lie. And you're a person that I'd love to emulate. I look up to you.
It's a nice person.
And the way you carry yourself. It's you, your family, your team. And we at Edison feel like we're part of one big family. And when the times get tough and times get rough and the challengers are there, Yitzchak and his team is always ready for us. Hashem should bench you with, hopefully, very quickly, be the 50th. I guess you have to wait 25 years. You should be to the 50th with gesund and nachas and health and joy from your family, and you should be able to give the light, the inner light that you have in you, it should continue to warm other people and guide other people. Hatzlacha Rav.
Thank you to all those who just shared such beautiful words with us tonight. Next, we have the evening's kickoff with the legendary Nachum Segal.
It is truly an honor to have been asked to give words of introduction for this noteworthy occasion. As we say Mazel Tov to Yitzchak Saflis and everybody at Bottom Line Marketing Group. A round of applause for them, please. And I was thinking, what is the best way to pay tribute to this amazing firm? And I thought the best thing to do would be to describe and pay tribute to its leader, its president. And there are two short stories that I found on the topic of dedication and hard work that I want to share with you. They both involve athletes. The first, Kobe Bryant, a great professional basketball player. The following is written about him. Kobe's professional trainer was fast asleep. Could you blame him? It was 3:30 in the morning. All of a sudden, his phone starts ringing. It's Kobe. He must be in trouble or in some kind of emergency. His trainer's freaking out, nervously picks up the phone. Kobe says that he's doing some conditioning work and could use his trainer's help. The trainer then proceeds to get ready and head over to the gym. He arrives at 4:30 a.m., and what does he see? He sees Kobe by himself practicing, drenched in sweat, looking like he had jumped into a swimming pool. It wasn't even 5 a.m. yet. The second story is about a hockey player named Wayne Gretzky. When Wayne Gretzky was a kid, he watched hockey like most players his age. What separated him was the way he watched each game. Whenever he would tune in, he would bring pencil and paper. As the game went on, he would trace the movement of the puck on the paper. So obsessed with learning how the puck moved, he wouldn't even look down. For hours, he studied every movement the puck would make. Years later, commentators time and again said how no player has ever been able to have a feel for the puck like Gretzky. Ladies and gentlemen, those of you who know Yitzchak Saflis and the dedication with which he works and how dedicated he is to our community, you could see in both of these stories traits that he exhibits. I don't think it's a surprise to anybody here that if Yitzchak Saflis felt it necessary to stay up all night and pour his tears and sweat into a project to make sure that the client would be satisfied and that they would achieve success, everyone here knows he would do it. By the same token, anybody here who has ever sat in a meeting with Yitzchak Saflis has seen the pencil and paper, has seen the meticulous notes that he takes, and the care and concern that he has for every detail to make sure that the client is completely satisfied. We are here tonight to celebrate not just 25 years, but tremendous longevity in a very difficult industry, in a difficult business. Bottom Line Marketing Group is here today and thriving the way they are because of Yitzchak Saflis. In conclusion, since we're talking sports already here tonight, in conclusion, 25 years, as many of you know, is the silver anniversary. And in sports, silver is not quite the top. Silver medal is usually second place. I want to suggest that Yitzchak Saflis works as if he's a silver medalist, but knowing that years from now we will sit here celebrating his achievement of a gold medal. Mazel tov to Yitzchak Saflis and the Bottom Line Marketing Group.
And now we heard some words of inspiration from the noted speaker and author, Rabbi David Goldwasser.
Interesting. We naturally, at these occasions, we thank the one above, Hashem, that we're able to get to this point. And I got to tell you that every time I ride past the Bottom Line Marketing on Flatbush Avenue. I see the beautiful outside of the building, and I know the activity that's going on and the design that was tailor-made by Rabbi Yitzchok. I know what he had to go through in his staff in order to get to that building. I also know years ago how that building itself was on the line, literally. And how Rabbi Yitzchok never stopped believing in Hashem, believing in himself, and believing in the vision of Bottom Line Marketing. And tonight, aside from all the celebration and the wonderful people and the representatives from unbelievable organizations and businesses and the arts and the business world, the greatest single thing that we are here for is to thank Hashem. Aromimcha Hashem ki dilisoni. Hashem, you raise me up. In all the challenges that could have overrun me and overtaken me, I was able to stand up because of you. You know, it's interesting. There was a Masa Shahaya happened. There was a tooth fairy, a leprechaun. There was an honest businessman. And there was also, besides all of those, there was an elderly man. He was Nebuch drunk completely. Walking down the street, all of a sudden they see a $500 bill. $500 bill. Who got it? Of course, it was the old man who was drunk, because all the others were fictitious figures. Think about it for a moment. Tonight, we celebrate one of the greatest people that represent the truth. Kiddush Hashem. What it takes from a person in these days, especially in the times of challenge, to be able to stand up for the truth, for what's right, for integrity. Accounts that came to him that he could have made a lot of money on, but were not representative of our values, of our ethics and our morals, he refused them, he rejected them offhand. That, I'd say, is something unbelievable. That is something for us to look up to. Very short incident in the Talmud. The great Rabbi Pinchas ben Yoyer, he was going to redeem captives, Pidyon Shvuyim. And as he was going, there was a river in his way. And he said to the river, Narginai, split for me. I got to pass through there. Part. And the river said, no. And he says, I'm telling you to do it. That is the Ratzon of Hashem. That's God's will. And the river said, no, I am doing God's will. God wants that the river flows. We don't know whether you're going to do God's will or not. Will you be successful in redeeming the captives? Reb Pinchas ben Yora said, I have the Ratzon, I have the will to do what Hashem wants. And because of that, I'm already doing the will of Hashem. Split for me. If you don't split, I promise you, I'm going to dry your waters up. You'll never flow again. The waters were afraid of Reb Pinchas ben Yoyer. The waters split, and the great rabbi marched through. All the commentaries say, what was the great level that Reb Pinchas ben Yoyer was able to command nature, to be sholed al ateva, to be able to decree, and that Hashem would listen, God would listen to his decree and make it happen? What gave him that power? What did he do? What was his special mitzvah? The answer is very simple. If you take a look, it says that there was a businessman, and he had two bags of barley, and he deposited them by Reb Pinchas ben Yoyer just to watch for a few hours. Reb Pinchas ben Yoyer said, fine, I'll watch them for you. You'll come back and get them. Never came back. Reb Pinchas ben Yoyer had the two bags of barley. What could he do with it? Could have used it. Could have sold it. Maybe give the money back when they come. He'll give them the few bucks. No, he didn't do either of that. He went and he plowed the land, and he tilled the soil, and he planted, and he sowed, and he watered, and he cultivated until the barley came up. And it continued year after year, and he planted the barley again. Finally, He filled several garneries with that barley. Several years later, the merchant came back and said, Rebbe, do you know whatever happened to that two bags that I left of barley? And he says, yes, I can show them to you. Those are all yours. And he showed him the seven garneries filled with barley. That was the schus. That was the merit that he had. If you'll ask me, what is the great merit? There are so many great business people. But what is it specifically about Yitzchok Saflis? Why is it that he's so successful? Why did he write books on marketing that people pick up and plow through and try to understand and to learn and pick it up? Why is it that his radio program is the most successful? Reb Nochum, I love you. You know that. I forgot my boss is sitting there. Why it, on the secular market, why is it? It's going to take me a while to worm out of that one. But anyhow, why is it that he is so successful? Why did they come to him and say, please, continue, broaden the program? Why are people wanting to go on? Why does he have programs and make tremendous inroads in elections? Political people come and consult him. Rabbi Zone sitting over here, mitzvah gedolah ad ein l'shar. What is a greater mitzvah than what that man does? And Rabbi Yitzchok handles it all, right to left, corporations. You can't say anything that he's not involved in. He's got the professionalism, he's got the know-how, he's got the talent, he's got the flair, he's got the staff, he knows how to put it together. But above everything, it's all nothing compared to his honesty, his MS, his integrity, his standing behind his product, his making sure that a word is a word. And a Kiddush Hashem is a Kiddush Hashem. When all the people, Jew, non-Jew, doesn't matter who they are, they see the way that man does business and they say, this man is a man of God. He's not just a businessman. And that is something that I can personally learn from, and I'm sure that a lot of people here and a lot of people in the world could learn from. That is an amazing, amazing feat. There was a, just in closing, there was a fire that raged through Rembrandt's gallery. And Rembrandt went, he was watching the fire. It was bringing down the entire gallery. Masterpieces, the best in the world, world famous. And he was watching them all go. A guy came over and he says, Rembrandt, if you could save one thing from the fire, one thing, what would you save? Rembrandt said, I would save the fire, because the fire is going to force me to create anew. Yitzchok Saflis, keep your fire 120 years. Keep it, keep creating new and new and new. Keep being marbe kavod shemaim, spread the glory of Hashem. You're an amazing individual.
And now presenting the keynote address by Hall of Fame speaker and New York Times bestselling author, Shep Hyken.
So my name's Shep Hyken, customer service and experience expert. And before we get into business, this is a celebration. So I thought, why not have some fun? And what I'm about to show you right now with this rope is something that I learned when I was 12 years old. It's a little magic trick, and I thought it'd be a fun way to start things off. Sir, I know it's small, but check it out. This one's for you. It's a nice little short one. You check it out. Make sure it doesn't stretch. And we've got another one. How about you, sir? Would you catch that for me? Good catch. And the young guy, Josh, who I met earlier. Nice to see you, Josh. Go ahead. Check that one out. That's a big one. Now, what I'm about to show you is a minor miracle, and I use that word very carefully in this room. Three pieces of rope. Go ahead, sir. Toss that piece of rope up here when I count to three. Okay, that was good. So we've got the short piece of rope. We've got the long piece of rope. Very good. And we've got a very, very long piece of rope. And in a moment, you'll see why I do this. Go ahead, Josh. Toss it up here. Thank you very much. Three pieces of rope instantly before your very eyes. They will appear to become the exact same length. I learned this trick when I was 12 years old, which is when I learned my first customer service lessons. That's right. Do they look the same to you, sir? They do at the ends, but not in the middle. Is that correct? There is no fool in him. The whole idea, though, is to make the middles look exactly the same as the ends, creating the perfect illusion that you have three pieces of rope that are the exact same length. Darn near a miracle, but Oh, you are too kind. Thank you. These people aren't so impressed, but the rest of you, I appreciate it. And seriously, I think it's a pretty cool trick considering we started with three different sized pieces of rope. I think we had the very short piece of rope, we had a nice long one, and the very long one, and that, ladies and gentlemen, is the rope trick. All right. Thank you. So what does that have to do with what we're talking about tonight? Nothing. But actually, when I was 12 years old, I started my first business. It was a birthday party magic show business. And I came home from that first show, and I had dinner that night. My mom, my dad, my brother, and my sister, they're sitting around the table. And my mom says, as I'm talking about the show, "So what are you going to do after dinner?" And I thought the correct answer would be homework. It was a school night. But I was wrong. She says, "No, you're going to go and write a thank you note to the nice people that hired you and gave you money to perform today for that little boy's birthday party." I said, "That is a great idea." My father said, "Let's take it to the next level. Write the note. Next week, after they've received the note, pick up the phone, call the parents, and thank them again. And then ask them, were you happy? Get feedback. Find out what they liked. And if they liked you, ask about the little girl that was the sister of this little brother. When was that birthday party? What about the parents in the back of the room? What about their kids that were sitting up front? Can I get their names and numbers and call them and hopefully work for them?" And I did exactly what my father did. I obviously did a good show. I came back and did that little girl's birthday party. I worked for a number of those parents, and I did that every single magic show. I thanked that customer. I called them again, thanked them again, got feedback. That's customer service. And little did I know, at the age of 12, my parents were teaching me really important lessons. You see, at the end of the day, I can talk to you about artificial intelligence and how it is impacting customer service in a positive way. I can talk about data analytics. But at the end of the day, we spend all this money and all these systems. If however much money we spend on marketing, if our customer walks through our doors, our customer picks up the phone and calls one of us, if the person on the other end of the phone or the person they interact with doesn't know how to deliver in a way that's the expectation that we would want them to have in taking care of that customer, it fails. And that's what this presentation is about today. The lessons my parents may have taught me, very important. By the way, within about a year and a half, I was doing 8 to 10 magic shows every week. It was amazing. So that's what customer service gets you. But here's the point. This little bit of magic I did, it ties into a concept I have called a moment of magic. And the moment of magic starts with a concept called the moment of truth by Jan Carlson. Back in the early 1980s, Jan Carlson was asked to take over an airline, Scandinavian Airlines. And it was failing, losing millions of dollars. And he was asked to turn it around. So what he did is he went to every city that that airline had a presence in. He went into a big airplane hangar and he had all the employees get together. And he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, if we are going to succeed, we must manage the moment of truth." And he defined the moment of truth as anytime a passenger, that's his customer, comes into contact with any aspect of the airline, that is the moment of truth. They will form an impression. And is that impression going to be good? Or is it going to be bad? He says, manage the impressions, like when they make a reservation and when they walk in to check in at the ticket counter. All of these interactions are very, very important. Manage them to be positive moments of truth. And even the small ones where a passenger may just be walking by and you might smile and wave at them as they walk by. You don't even have to talk to them, but it's an interaction nonetheless. Manage every moment of truth for a positive experience, and the passenger will want to fly on us again. And with that simple concept, Jan Carlson turned the airline around. It didn't just become financially successful again. It became the most admired airline in the entire airline industry. A simple concept. Now, I have words to describe what those moments of truth are. As I mentioned, Jan Carlson said they can be good and they can be bad. There's also a third one. It's the one that's in the middle. That one's average. That's satisfactory. And by the way, if all you are is just okay, that's not good enough. It's like you've got excellent, you've got good, you've got satisfactory, you've got fair, and you've got poor. Satisfactory is like the word fine. Fine. How's everything? It's fine. Are you married? Yes, if you said to your wife, how is everything? And she says, it's fine. You are in trouble. Fine is not fine. Fine means, well, it could mean even worse than poor. It's not fine. But the point is, you want to be better than average. So if you're going to create a good moment of truth and a bad moment of truth, that's fine. And by the way, the bad moments of truth, I call them moments of misery. Those are complaints and problems, things we have friction when we do business with a company. That's misery. In the middle, the average or satisfactory, that's a moment of mediocrity. And unfortunately, right in the middle there, this is where most businesses sit and reside. They're looking to satisfy their customers. But the best companies know they want to do better than a moment of mediocrity. They want to avoid moments of misery, and they want to create that positive experience, which I call a moment of magic, which is where my little background of magic tricks kind of got me thinking. Let's call it a moment of magic. And that moment of magic is even the smallest little bit above average, a positive experience. And when you put all of these interactions that you have with your customers together, and if every one of them is even just a little bit better than average, consistently and predictably, then you're operating in the zone of amazement. And that's when your customers say, I love doing business with him, her, them, because they're amazing. And amazing is simply better than average all of the time. So with that in mind, I want to give you a quick little story, and then I'm going to give you five real specific ways to make that moment of magic happen. All of them are common sense. You're doing a lot of them, but I'm going to make you think about them in a different way. So I'm going to tell you a story about McDonald's. Now, I know McDonald's is not kosher, but the story is. So it was on the way to school that every week I would take my kids to breakfast, and we're in St. Louis, Missouri, and I'd say, kids, where do you want to go to breakfast? And they would always say, McDonald's. Great, let's go to McDonald's. And one morning we walked in, and there was a woman behind the counter, an elderly woman, and she said as we walked in, good morning, look who's here, kids, come up here. My kids are smiling. My son's, at the time, he's 9 years old, my daughter is six, and I had a young daughter, 4 years old. And they all have taken them to school, and they are so happy. This woman was so friendly. And talk about a magical moment. Talk about that positive experience, the big smile and the welcome arms. That's what I'm talking about when you manage your moments of truth, this first impression. The kids walk up, and she goes, I know exactly what the three of you are going to order for breakfast. And she told my kids exactly what they were going to order, and my kids were blown away. How did this woman know what they were going to order? Well, it turns out that this was the same woman that was there the week before. Now, you might laugh or smile at that, but this particular woman, that particular day a week before, it was her first day working at McDonald's. We happened to be the very first customers that she took care of where she didn't have a supervisor helping her. So she clearly remembered that moment for her. And when we came in, she recognized us, big open arms. Now, I will tell you, my little six-year-old daughter nudged me and said, Dad, I think that's the same lady that was here last week. My 9-year-old son, after going to this McDonald's 6 more weeks, said, Dad, how does she know what we're going to have to eat? And that proves that the male brain never performs nearly as well and develops as well as the female brain. Is that right, ladies? Of course it is. Of course it is. So we sit down and we're having breakfast that particular day on that first time where the kids are just blown away. And my daughter, the same six-year-old who said she thought it was the same lady, she made a very astute comment. She said, Dad, the people at this McDonald's, they're fantastic. They're so friendly. And I thought, that's the way it's supposed to be. However, she was wrong. It really wasn't the people at this restaurant. It was the person. One person. One person represented the entire group of employees at that restaurant. One person represented the whole brand, the name above the building, the signage. One person represented everything about that company. At any given time, if we'd have had a great experience, we walk away going, wow, the people at that restaurant are great. Or we could have walked away if it was a negative experience with just one person saying, you know what, I don't want to go back there. The people aren't. One person, and this is a big lesson. We need to make sure everybody that works with us, including all of us, represent or recognize our awesome responsibility. It's an awesome responsibility to represent anybody we work with. And at any given time, one of us will represent all of us within an organization. And that's why we need to impart upon our employees, the people we work with, our colleagues, the person we, anybody we work with, that it's an important responsibility to know that every interaction that we have, every moment of truth must be managed for a moment of magic. Now, in the short time that I have, I'm going to give you five quick tips, five real simple ideas that customers want, expect, and all of you can deliver regardless of what you do. Even if all you are is married to a man, and I understand you can cook, and I know you probably do a lot more, but if all you are is a relationship, maybe the guy's staying at home, this is about marriage. This is about marriage between couples. This is a marriage between people that work. I feel like I'm sounding like the rabbi over here. This is good. This is about relationships. So here we go. Number one, manage your first impressions. This is simple. It's not just the first time you see somebody. It could be the 500th time. You're managing the interaction, the moment where you set the tone for what's about to follow. So you might see somebody day in and day out at work. You might get up in the morning and look over at your spouse and go, hi. And she'll, hi. So, no, but no, set the tone for what's to follow. What's your body language say? What's that smile on your face doing? Is it delivering the message that you want? What when you answer the phone, do you welcome somebody into the conversation or do they feel as if they're an interruption? Manage the moment of truth and create a moment of magic. It's a simple little one, but it's such an important one. It sets the tone for everything that's to follow. Number two, knowledge. Demonstrate knowledge. You need to be the expert at what you do. If I've got a question about PR and marketing, who am I going to go to? I'm going to go to this guy over here because he has set me up to understand that he has answers. And I know this about him. If he doesn't have the answer, he doesn't bluff. He doesn't fake. What he does, he says, that's a great question. I'll get the answer. And he goes to the place that has the answer or the person that has the answer. Smart people don't know everything. They just know where to go to get the information when they don't have the answers. They know where to go and who to go to. And that's very powerful. There's an organization, Energizer, the battery company. You know, the batteries with the pink bunny, they keep on going. They decided they wanted to be the best in the business. So good to their customers that they would go and make a sales call to a place like a Walgreens, a CVS, or a major chain store of any kind. And they showed that they were so good at understanding the battery business and what the customers wanted that these customers of theirs said, hey, you're so good, go set up the battery display. That's a great place to be because it wasn't just their battery display, it was the competitors' batteries as well. Think about that. Duracell and Panasonic that sell batteries and the Energizer people are actually setting up the display for their competitors. And anytime one of their customers from one of these big companies called about a question related to batteries, even if it was about their competitor, they would call the Energizer rep first. That's how powerful knowledge can be in business. Number three, this is one of my favorites, it's communication. And this goes for everybody no matter what they do. Here's a simple lesson. Ask the extra question. Communication, ask an extra question. People say one thing, they mean something else. Example, I need that quickly. And then the person says, okay, and does it as quick as they can, comes back a little while later, here you go. And what does that mean? The person who said, I need it quickly says, what took you so long? What do you mean, what took me so long? I did it as fast as I could, faster than I've ever done it before. Well, I didn't realize it was going to take this long. Well, maybe you should have told me when you needed it. Well, maybe you should have asked me when I needed it. Do you see what's happening there? There's a confrontation, and it could have all been saved if this person, when he heard, I need it quickly, would have said, how quickly? Two words. That's it. And you would have had the expectation, and if it was not an expectation that you could deliver on, then you could explain why. Make sense? Now, my wife is a perfect example of this, so I'll talk about her because she's not in the room to defend herself. True story. St. Louis, Missouri, Saturday night, we're driving home, and there's a Baskin-Robbins ice cream store. Man, would I love some ice cream. That's what she's thinking. And she looks at me and says, honey, would you like to stop and get some ice cream? That's what she was thinking. I want ice cream. And I said, no. And we kept driving. Now, when she said, I can tell the women are all smiling. The men have no idea what's going on here. When my wife said, honey, would you like ice cream? She was not asking me if I wanted ice. Oh, now you get it. Okay. No, she was saying, I want ice cream. I don't even care if you want ice cream. So pull over, we're getting ice cream. it would have been saved that evening. If I would have said, after she said, would you like ice cream? I could have said no, but I had to add the extra question. Would you? And we would have saved the evening. And we would have had ice cream. At least I would have had ice cream, if you know what I mean. And I think you do. So, you get that too, don't you? Yeah. So, this happens all the time. I walked in the house one night. The garage light was burnt out. I came home. It was late. Garage door goes up. No light goes on. I walk inside. My wife says, honey, the garage light is out. She was correct. A month later, still out. Why? Because she did not say, change the bulb. And in my own little world, if I thought she wanted me to change it, she should have asked me to change it. But no, it's not what happened. You see, it was a month later, and she goes, you know, you never do anything around the house. I go, what are you talking about? She said, a month ago, I told you the garage light was burnt out. And that's when I said something stupid. I said, I remember. No, that wasn't it. I said, I remember, and I can't believe you haven't changed the bulb yet. Yeah, that was the stupid part. I should never have said that. What I should have done when she said, honey, the garage light is burnt out, I should have asked her the extra question. Oh, would you like me to change the bulb? And everything would have been just fine. And I'm learning this is the way she communicates. And by the way, this is the way a lot of people communicate. They say one thing, yet they mean something else. So when she says something like, honey, the trash is full, I look over. She's usually right. It's overflowing with trash. It's time to take it out, but she doesn't say, take it out. She just makes a statement. The trash is full. So I will say to her, oh, would you like me to take it out? And she'll say, yes. And I go, okay, dear. And I take it out. And then I come back. She goes, you just asked that extra question, didn't you? I go, that's right. Next time you want me to take it out, just say, please take out the trash. But she's not going to. And our customers aren't going to. And the people we work with, they're not going to. The idea is when somebody says one thing, you ask the extra question. And sometimes it's more than one question. All right, enough of that. Let me give you number four. So we've got first impressions, demonstrate your knowledge, ask the extra question. Number four is consistency. And if you'll remember, as I started the presentation, I talked about what the moment of magic was. It's the consistent and predictable above average experience that customer receives. Consistency is what earns you trust. Trust creates confidence. Confidence creates loyalty. Without consistency, you can't have that. Now, consistency doesn't mean everybody is the same, that you have clones working for you. No, it means that everybody comes to work with the same effort of doing the best job that they possibly can, because nobody will ever fault anybody for doing their best work. And when you do your best work all of the time, you do well. You tend to put it in baseball terms, get on base every time. You may not hit the home run, grand slam every time, but you're always there. So it reminds me, famous actor Richard Burton. Some of you may or may not know who he is. Richard Burton was famous for a lot of things, including all the problems that he had, but we're not going to talk about those. He was famous for TV, movies, what he did on stage. What he did on stage may have been his best work. And he went out there night after night on these performances on stage and the plays that he was in. Hamlet was one he won a major award for. And he wanted to give the best job, the best acting performance every single night. And he was known to say as he walked out on stage, I want to be so good tonight that I cheat the audience that was here the night before. In other words, every night he wanted to be better than last night. And with that effort, it was hard for him to fail. He gave of himself every night as he performed for these people. And you know, as I think about the best athletes on the field, they go out there, they're professionals and performing at the highest level. And if they don't perform at their highest level, they're not professional athletes for very long. No, they get out there, win or lose. They put out there, they do their best. The best actors, like Richard Burton, do their best. The best people in business, like our friend Yitzchak over here, he does the best every single time. That's what he's done. I asked one of his clients, I called up and I interviewed one of his clients. And I said, tell me a little bit about this man. And one of the things he says, you can always count on him. He's always so helpful. He's always knowledgeable. That word always is the consistency. He also said he was wholesome like apple pie, whatever that means. But that's our friend over here. That's what it's all about. And finally, the fifth idea, the fifth concept that's so important, don't ever forget this one, and that is to say thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to work with you. Thank you for your business. Thank you for working with me and doing a great job. Those are the kinds of words you use to the people you work with and do business with. It's one of the reasons we're having dinner here tonight with all of you, is a way to say thank you to all of you for being part of 25 years of an amazing company. So I'm just about out of time. I want to do one final example of what a moment of truth, misery, and magic is all about. And I thought a great way to end is kind of the same way we started, with a little magic trick. So I am going to do for you something fun. I'm going to do a card trick. Now, this is a fun card trick, and I need some help from people that could help me out. A gentleman right here, what is your name, sir? Levy. No, you can stay right there. And is it Levy? Levy, nice to see you. Levy, you can stand up if you like. That's good. Stand up. Go for it. And just verify all the cards are different. Yes? Yes, sir. I wouldn't show them to you if they weren't. That is for sure. And you just say stop anywhere you'd like. Say when, Levy. Stop. There you go. Do not forget that card. Help out if he forgets. Remain standing. You stay right there. We'll have a few other people pick some cards. And how about you? What is your name, ma'am? Shifra. Shifra. My wife's name is Shifra. This is amazing. Yes, yes. Do you see one that you like? Don't pick it. Just look at it and see it. Do you see one? Okay, Larry, I'll spread them out again. So, got one? Just one. Got it? Don't forget it. Wasn't the Ace of Spades, was it, Shipra? Just want to make sure. Stay right there, Shipra. Don't move. We'll have somebody else. How about we go over here? What is your name, ma'am?
Yitzchak's mother.
There is no way that that is his mother. You look like his sister. I got to tell you, and Yitzchak, your wife looks like your daughter. I don't know what's going on here, but okay, so they'll think there's collusion if you and I work together. And how about you? What is your name?
Hi.
Hi? Chaya. Chaya. My wife's name is Chaya. No. Stand up. Or no, stay right there. Stay right there and just think of one that you see. Do you see one that you like? Do not forget that card. Shipra, I'm having difficulty with your card, but I'll get yours. Chaya over here. And how about one more person? Gentleman right here, what is your name, sir?
Yaakov.
What is it?
Yaakov.
Yaakov. Her name is not Yaakov, but this, all right. Do you see one that you like, sir?
Yes.
Good. Was it the ace?
Yes.
Pick a different one. Okay. Got it? Do not forget it. 52 cards to choose from. You are thinking of cards. I'm going to try to guess the cards that you were thinking of. This is not easy to do. Let's start with you, Yaakov. Say the card in your mind over and over again. You are thinking of a, it's a red card, yes? No, the first one. Well, the first one was a black card. I'm sorry. A black card's what I meant to say. You're thinking, that's good. You're thinking of a red one, yes? No, but you did and you changed your mind, didn't you? Yes or no? Yes, that's right. And we'll get that one too, perhaps. Do you remember what the first one was? No, okay. Shipper, this is good. I know, hi. Yours also a black card? It's a club, is that correct? Is yours also a club? And yours is a club as well? Is that right? I'm seeing a nine of clubs and a king of clubs and a three of clubs. Yes or no? Just a big loud yes if I named your card. Yes, and did I name yours? Yeah, I did not name yours yet? Oh, it doesn't matter. Did I one or the other? Yes and yes, thank you very much. That's three, but not your card. One person applauded. I heard it. Thank you very much. You have no idea how hard that was. But one, and look at Levy over there. Levi's looking. Yeah, read my mind. Look at that face. He doesn't believe it. I will tell you, I knew the card you were going to think of before I even got here today. I placed a card in my pocket predicting the card that you would be thinking of right now. Ladies and gentlemen, the moment of magic you've been waiting for was this, your card. No? Seriously. This was not it. What was it? The Ten of Spades. This is a moment of misery. This proves the point that some of her customers just aren't worth doing business with. So, and for that they applaud. But I gotta tell you, Levi, you said the Ten of Spades, is that right? I'm not gonna let you down. The Ten of Spades, if that's what he wants, I will give him the Ten of Spades. I will do whatever it takes to make this man happy. Even if it means going the long way, the hard way, the unconventional way, there it is, the Ten of Spades. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you, sir. How about a round of applause for our four helpers? They are great. So here's the lesson. Every opportunity is an opportunity to create a moment of magic, but you know, it's easy to create moments of magic when things are going well, but then there's a bump in the road, there's a problem, there might be a complaint. Moment of truth, was this the card? Moment of misery, he said no. But the moment of magic is when I turn it around and I made it right. Every moment of truth, and this is the underlying theme, every moment of truth is an opportunity, even when it's a moment of misery, to create that moment of magic, to create that confidence, to create that trust. And that's what we're here tonight to do, is to celebrate that with our good friend. Thank you all very much. May you have many moments of magic. Thank you, sir, for having me here. It's been an honor. Thank you.
Wow, this wraps up a great edition of Mind Your Business, but special thank you to, of course, Rabbi David Goldwasser, Nachum Siegel, Shep Hyken, and, of course, all the people that shared special words of tribute about Bottom Line, touched, and looking forward to servicing our clients for many years to come. This wraps up another great edition of Mind Your Business. Tune in again next Sunday night at 10 p.m. right here on 77 WABC.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Yitzhak Saflis has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over two decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he and his guests offer their business and marketing expertise to you every Sunday night on Mind Your Business.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.